thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law.
'Cause I'm the tax man.
Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
And Andrew's in the studio with us. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Ben.
What are we talking about today?
Well, Ben, definitely would encourage our listeners to go back if you have any or having any issues with the hurricanes or want to know some tax advice regarding what the IRS has provided and what some of the deductions that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Last two programs I've done have focused exclusively on those benefits, and then certainly if you have any questions, let us know. You can go to our website and listen to all of our radio programs. So certainly if you're thinking about those types of issues, especially with Michael now in the news, and we're thinking about our neighbors to the south down in Florida and Georgia
and
now
homes there.
And now coming up here to North Carolina.
Yeah.
So definitely if you're interested in tax issues regarding hurricanes, a couple of good programs that you need to go to harvellandcollins.com and check out.
There you go. Yeah, a lot of folks interested in that deduction changes, also the delay in the reporting. For
and definitely we talked briefly last week about, you know, David Rouser and George Holding and basically setting up a bill that's going to make its way through Congress. And as soon as that gets passed, I'll let our listeners know, and we'll go back through the rules again about how it modifies what the current tax law is on those particular deductions. But today we want to shift gears a little bit. And I've got a little case for you, Ben. Mm-hmm. So I want you to don the robes and get the gavel of justice out. Because we're going to let you just make a decision here, and we'll see if your thoughts align with the Virginia Supreme Court on this particular estate planning issue. So just, you know, most people understand what a last will and testament does, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, basic provisions that are included. You know, you get to name the individual that's in charge of your estate.
Mm-hmm.
So that person is called the executor.
Right.
And they are the ones who are going to fulfill your wishes that you put in this document with regards to your estate when you're no longer with us. There's going to be an order in your will that says, you know, pay my existing debts, you know, make sure you get my funeral paid for, make sure if I owe any medical debts or credit card bills or any individual that I perhaps owe money to, you know, let's go ahead and get those taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and get those debts satisfied. Then you're going to provide for the distribution of your property. And this is called bequests or devises.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where you actually put the operative provisions about how you want your property to be distributed. And there's different ways you can do that. You know, we've talked about making specific bequests, meaning specific dollar amounts to various individuals. We've talked about making, percentage bequests, basically saying, well, you know, we got 100% of an estate. Let's give, you know, 25% each to my four children. That's one way that certainly you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But most every will contains a residuary clause. And what this residuary clause is we lawyers recognize, even if we tried to get every asset included in the particular specific bequest.
There's something else.
You may leave something out. And, you know, there's obviously it's a moving target because we only know what the individual has at the particular time the will is drafted.
Right.
But we don't know when the individual is going to pass away and be no longer with us and when this will is going to become operative.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to put this residuary clause in there to say any and all rest, residue, and remainder goes to whomever.
I knew there was a phrase there. What, rest, residue, and remainder?
Rest, residue, and remainder.
Okay,
so anything that's left over at the end of the day. And a lot of people, that's the main clause that distributes their will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say, okay, tangible stuff to such and such, and maybe leave a list of items that they want given out.
Mm-hmm.
But then the rest, they just say rest, residue, and remainder, you know, to whomever.
All of a sudden, that's their bank account.
And that's it. Yeah, that's going to be where the bulk of their estate and the majority of their assets actually get distributed. And so today we've got Feeney v. Feeney.
Mm-hmm.
And James Feeney is our decedent in this particular regard. And he died with a spouse, Marjorie, and two children from a prior marriage. He had Sean and James Jr. And Sean's actually a minor in this particular case, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of times when we have clients come in and they have minor children, you know, one of their paramount objectives is, especially children from a previous marriage, is, look, I want to take care of my current spouse,
mm-hmm.
but I've got this minor child from a previous marriage, and I want to make sure that they are taken care of,
mm-hmm.
because there's no guarantee that if you give assets to a current spouse, when they're not the biological mother of your son or daughter, that they're going to take care of that minor child.
Exactly.
And then there's no obligation with which to do so, potentially. So in this particular regard, James left his will, and his residuary clause was seemingly fairly straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
He said, rest residue and remainder to Marjorie, period.
Okay.
That was the end of the sentence.
Yeah.
That was it. Well, guess what? He went on to say some other things, and he says in here, it is my intention that she use the assets of my estate to provide for her health and support, and to continue to provide for Sean's health, support, and education.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he went on to say. And then he said, upon Marjorie's death, any remaining assets I want to go to Sean. And then he proceeds to say, Marjorie and I have kept our assets separate. We want, you know, our assets to be there for one another, for supplemental care,
mm-hmm.
but you know, our intention is the reason we're keeping these assets separate is so that our families, our respective families,
right.
end up with the assets at the end of the day.
Right.
So that was what his will said. And of course,
I know where I'm going here.
You know where you're going. All right. He's already got a decision to make. And so what ends up happening is that obviously, Marjorie's position is, well, it says rest residue and remainder to Marjorie, so I get it all,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then Sean and James say, wait a second here, you know, we may have the right to this because of the other language that's mm-hmm. listed in the will. So they file what's called a declaratory judgment action, which is, court, we want to know what this language means,
mm-hmm.
because we're not quite sure. It might be ambiguous. You know, we think our side's right. Marjorie thinks her side's right. And the issue is basically, what did Marjorie get? Does that period at the end of the sentence end it for Marjorie, meaning mm-hmm. she gets everything? Or does this other language create some limiting language that means that she didn't quite get everything outright, that there's an obligation? In the way that we look at this is, did it set up some type of trust
mm-hmm.
For Sean's benefit and Marjorie's benefit? You know, what say you? So the trial court, Ben, just to let you know where the trial court went here.
Uh-huh.
Trial court says Marjorie gets it all.
Mm-hmm.
So that period at the end of the sentence where it says rest residue and remainder to Marjorie was the operative provision. And then the rest of the language where it says, it's my intention,
mm-hmm.
this is what I want to happen, we view that as what's called a precatory desire, which means that although that language is there, the decedent was not clear,
mm-hmm.
He was not clear in his will into what he wanted. And all that language that was after that just meant, Marjorie, this is
nice.
What I want you to
it'd
do.
Be nice. Yeah,
it'd be nice if you would do this. Yeah. I'd really appreciate it if you did this. But legally mm-hmm. speaking, that language had
mm-hmm.
zero effect. That's what the trial court said. Now, Ben, let's put your robe on and get your gavel out. You get on the Virginia Supreme Court, and what do you say here?
Okay, well, first of all, if I was a trial court judge, I'd be looking over my glasses at the attorney representing the state and said, did you write this? I mean, did you write this? You left a mess. If you wrote this will, you created a mess here. Why not just set up a trust? Go ahead and do it. And instead of putting it this way, because in the trial court, I'm ruling that Marjorie gets it all because the rest of it is, well, it would be nice if you do it, but she's under no obligation, including the language that says after Marjorie dies. You know, she's under no obligation to say that her assets now are going to go this way to meet that. That would be my understanding from the trial court.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm on the Virginia Supreme Court, I've watched some Virginia Supreme Court rulings lately that have kind of gone to say, are you really paying attention to the law now? So I can tell you, I think the Virginia Supreme Court might look differently and offer some grace. Now, I think that would be the right thing to do, but I don't think it's the legal thing to do.
Ding, ding, ding. Ben's right. So the Virginia Supreme Court reverses the trial court decision in this particular regard. And says, you know, number one, they go through their analysis and they say, look, we're going to look at the plain language
mm-hmm.
of this document, but we want to look at the entire will and its contents. And we want to make sure that the testator's, intentions are given their full weight and authority. And the general rule is the largest estate is passed, so that mm-hmm. would mean that Marjorie would get it all. But, you know, if there's clear contrary intent to limit the estate that she's going to receive, then that intention needs to be given credence.
Mm-hmm. It says to support Sean. What does that mean?
Yeah. So what the court ruled is that because of that next sentence, they liked both paragraphs that I went through. So number one is that, you know, obviously there was an intention there, to support Sean. And then they said upon Marjorie's death that any remaining assets to Sean, that shows that there was supposed to be remaining assets. And mm-hmm. so that was the limiting language they were looking for. And then they liked the fact that there was this separate account language that, you know, there was an intention that his family be provided for under mm-hmm. the will, and then her family be provided for under her will. And that's what that second paragraph said. Now, I agree with you, Ben. You know, think about what you had to do to get here, to get to the point where the court's now saying Sean gets something. You know, months and months of litigation, you know, you're going to go through the trial court level. You're going to get all the way up to the Virginia Supreme Court in this particular regard to make just a ruling on what the language means.
Mm-hmm.
Keep
when
it
you
simple.
Could have done it. You could have done it at the very beginning.
Exactly right. And this is where I think people get into trouble, which is, you know, I'm going to do it myself, or I'm going to, you know, get something off the internet, or I'm going to do, you know, this. This is where you end up. You end up in a situation right. like this. You don't end up in a situation where, hey, let's create a trust for the benefit of the wife, for
right.
her life,
right.
and then remainder interest to Sean. Very simple
and
very clear.
And even with Marjorie, it says, well, it says any remaining assets. Well, there aren't going to be any.
That's right.
If I were her, I mean, just I know it's not the right thing to do, but the law doesn't necessarily prescribe what is right. It prescribes what is just here. And so there's a difference here. We have to kind of understand that. If you want to find out more, it's A. Foster at HarveyAllenCollins.com.